Welcome to Crooners and Coffee Shops, everyone. My name is Heather. Today I have Late Waves here to chat about their musical partnership as well as their recently released album, Hell to Pay. Wanted to have you guys introduce yourselves and how you got started in music.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having us. Howie, I play bass.
I'm Shauna, I play drums.
Mike and I sing and play guitar.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Woo! And how did you guys kind of get started in music?
You guys want to take the origin story?
Well, I think all of us pretty much played music for the most part of our lives. Yeah. We've all been in bands since our adolescence. But where we live in Asbury Park, New Jersey, it's definitely a music-centric small little town. And there's like a lot of venues per the 1.6 square mile town that it is. And so there's just a lot of musicians down here. So basically, Shauna and I are actually brother and sister-in-law that we had a lifelong pact to start a band. And finally, we both found ourselves single in regard of our band relationships and finally got to jamming. And then, you know, Howie was just the no-brainer. He was like one of the few people in town that wasn't in a band at the time. So
got to get him before someone else grabs him.
Yeah. That's the bandless people are hot commodities in our town.
That's cool to hear about your guys' hometown. Like, I grew up in a smaller town, but music was definitely zero focus. If it could be negative focus, that's what it would be.
In the Footloose town.
We're all not from this town. We all have moved here over the course of a couple of years.
True.
But it is a great town to live in. Play.
We've been here long enough to call it our hometown for the
band. It's our adult hometown.
Yeah, I feel like once you've been somewhere like at least 5 years, that's kind of like your hometown.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. That's spot on.
We're 10 years here now.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Over 10 years here in LA.
Yes.
Yeah. So you guys kind of got into your origin story, but I wanted to ask, like, why you guys wanted to do a long-term musical partnership? I know you guys had a pact, but in terms of all the other bands and everything, how have you guys continued?
Well, I mean, so like Mike and Shauna kind of said they had started playing together at first after said pact. And then my previous band had played with Mike's previous band before. Shauna was, you had just moved down here after college, right? Mm-hmm. And we're sleeping on Mike and his wife, her sister's couch for the initial stages of getting introduced into Asbury Park. And then we just, once I had heard what they had done, I guess our first EP had already been recorded and it was just the two of them. And there were like some shows on the horizon and I didn't have much going on at the time. So it was like, hey, like no strings attached. If you need like a second guitar or bass player to help you out, like I just want to be playing shows again. And then we played our first show the same day. Small independent label Panic State Records decided that they would put out our first EP. And it just kind of like snapped like that. Like we were like, okay, like this works. Like the three of us, it wasn't really like I don't remember any long conversation. Yeah. It was just like, all right, I guess this is the band now.
Yeah.
See this piece of paper. I need your signature.
Yeah.
Preferably in blood.
Even more so, like just like the experience, like playing that first show together in our hometown, like at a small venue, like sold out. Nobody had heard any of the music before. It was just people coming out to support us as friends and individuals and musicians. And yeah, it was just like, oh, okay, this is it. This is what we're doing now. I don't think there, other than like wanting to pursue music, there wasn't any plan before that or after it. It was just like, all right, here we go.
Yeah. Right. The whole enjoyment of the journey is the unexpected situations that you find yourselves in.
Yeah. This was all other than, you know, wanting to play music together and make music together. Like we're very grateful for it, but you know, it's just been like a lot of fun and a lot of hard work going into it. So yeah.
And I mean, speaking of hard work, you guys are riding the highs of your album, Hell to Pay. So, woo! So I loved your guys' description about how it's like music that you listen to with your PBRs, because PBR is my favorite beer. No shame.
No shame.
Out of the cheap beers, it's the best. But for, you know, for those who haven't grabbed their PBRs and rocked out to Hell to Pay yet, what should listeners be expecting lyrically and instrumentally from the songs?
I think lyrically, what's kind of fun, like we have been deemed like a fun band. Some people have called us a bit of a party band and they're like, oh, is that offensive? I'm like, no, I mean like the music's really fun. you know, there's like the early 2000s in there. There's some grunge in there. We've heard like some like kind of classic rock. I guess that would probably be the pentatonic scale guitar solos I'd like to do sometimes. But I'm just trying to be like Angus Young, which is weird. Not a lot of people try to cite him. But anyway, the lyrics are a little more intrinsic. They kind of deal with issues of mental health and navigating it, you know, ups and downs. It's kind of like a shared commisery aspect. But the tone is like, we're going to get through this, and it's positive. So, I mean, behind like all the fun, loud rock, there is a bit of depth to it, which we're pretty proud of to put out there and talk about. Because
it's sad music that you can have fun to sometimes. I don't want to say it's sad music, but it's there could be some sad or dark lyrical content, but you can have fun in commiserating with, like Mike said, you know.
Yeah, I feel like that also makes it a little more relatable because it's like people enjoy listening to it, but also feel
Simulated.
And it's also been described as nostalgic, which I think is like a cool description because everyone loves nostalgia. It's a good feeling.
As the perpetual emo kid, I do enjoy my sad songs also being fun and able to be like dancing around too. And I love that you guys wanted to have a mental health focus because it needs to be brought up. And I feel like a lot of people are more open to discussing it, whether it's in music or in film or even just like sharing their experiences on social media and stuff. But I feel like the more that we talk about it, the more it'll be normalized and not so like stigmatic and taboo to discuss.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 100%.
Yes, it's like, take it seriously, please.
If we need to be up there with guitars and drums to like get that across, like we're happy to be the ones that help send the message.
Yeah.
Yes, we appreciate bands and artists like you guys for sure.
Oh yeah, thank you.
So these can be two separate songs. I know songwriting and recording is, you know, different processes. Which song would you say was your favorite to write and record? And all of you guys can have different answers too, so.
Right, we're in it for the long haul.
I don't know. It's all a blur to me. Like, we recorded this album over the course of like a year and a half. So there's just like a special place for all those sessions separately. I feel like maybe the last song, Hell to Pay, was like pretty fun to do because it just came together and we're like, oh, this makes sense. Like, we need a song like this. And it starts off like with just Mike's guitar and vocals. And when we originally showed it to Brett and Vinny, our producers, it was a little different. So it was cool to see the way that we were able to put it together.
Yeah. I would definitely agree with what Shauna said about like it kind of being like a weird thing to think about the record being recorded over such like a long period of time, which isn't an uncommon thing for bands to do or have to do. But it was like three very distinct sessions with a lot of writing and like a lot of touring and working these like ideas of songs out in between. And as much as like the first two sessions mean just as much, like the last two where we recorded what was going to be, I mean, I think we went in there with like hopefully with the idea of like hopefully finishing four songs out of the however many demos we had left. And we ended up doing five, one of which was Hell to Pay, as Shauna mentioned, which was super fun. But I think that my two favorite to record were Send Me to the Moon and I'm All Right, because those were like two of the last songs we wrote all together. They probably have the most creative like instrumentation on the record. Like, we broke out every guitar pedal in the studio and made all sorts of weird sounds that like we do replicate live. But like, if we didn't have all that stuff there, then we would have never, I don't think we would have, like, those songs wouldn't sound the way they sound on the record and how we play them live now. If we were just like, cool, here are the songs, like here are the demos, we'll just record them as is. Like, they were just super fun to spend like a lot of time on and like really, really work out every last detail to like where the reverb cut off or what effect to add to the vocal here. And yeah, there's like a lot of pretty moments on those songs that were cool, like that I won't forget making in the studio.
I hate to be lazy about it, but I agree with Howie. Like, for those reasons.
I thought you might. those two were super
You are
fun.
One shared thought wave. Yeah, yeah.
I'm all right.
Playing together long enough where you are one entity.
I'm All Right came to me like later on, like after it was finished, as like one of those sneaky favorites when we like started playing it live, because we wrote that in the studio. So we didn't like all practice it together, and then we performed it, and then COVID, so like we couldn't practice.
Yeah.
So once we finally started playing it, it was like, oh, how's this going to come together live? And it did. And yeah, I think that one like kind of snuck up on me as like one of my favorites on the record.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like you said that you guys worked for over a year and a half on the album. And like you said, it's uncommon for that to happen. There's been people that can work on singles for like a year and a half, like just one song. And I feel like you can't rush art. And your guys' end product, Hell to Pay, like I feel like you could tell that a lot of thought and work has been put into the album and into every song, and you can hear the finite details. And I know there's always a pressure that we have to have something new, like every week or every month kind of thing. But I also am a firm believer that like, please don't rush it, because I want you to project the best of your ability.
Yeah.
No,
as a music listener.
We collectively definitely appreciate that. It's tough in a world where like we totally get it, like the attention span of ourselves, everyone and ourselves included. It's like you want new stuff and like current stuff every day, every week, like every week, month, day. Like you want to see your favorite songwriter, your favorite band, your favorite artist doing something new. That's a lot of work. Even if you're doing it as your full-time job and getting, you know, paid to live, you're getting paid enough to live and do that. Like that's all well and good. I'm sure no one would argue that that's not the case for most people putting art out there. And it's nice to hear something like that. We're putting everything into it. We want to get it to everybody as fast as we can, but we also don't want to rush it and just be like, hey, we're Late Waves. Like, we put out a single that we wrote in a day and we paid a bunch of money into, you know, to go into a studio or did it ourselves or whatever it is. Like, we want to put as much work as we physically, like emotionally possibly can into like everything we do. So if that takes a little time, we're very happy that there's people like you and other people out there that appreciate that. So thank you.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you guys like a fun question, and everybody can have completely different answers if they want. If you could choose three artists to go on a world tour with, who would you choose and what would you name your tour?
I think I know Howie and Shauna's answers, but I don't know mine.
I change mine pretty frequently.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I should go with like a more realistic option, even though it's probably not realistic, yeah, or if I should just go with
give it to her.
My dream tour.
Yeah.
If you put it out in the world, it's manifestation.
I know. Oh, wait, I said it the other day too, and I forget already. So my two would be Gaga and Foo Fighters. And Late Waves.
We can come too.
Yeah, Late Waves will go on tour. And I don't know, I think it'll just be a badass tour.
What'd you name it?
A badass tour, I guess. There you go. Just a badass tour. There's no other way to describe it.
Yes. Very fitting title.
Yeah. Yeah. Really can't really go wrong with that. I think that would be a good one.
I think we would sell out most shows. Late Waves will sell out. Not Foo Fighters or Gaga.
I know that that's definitely Shauna's go-to answer. Mine is at least one of them is always Jimmy Eat World, because I think they've never written a bad song ever. I've still actually never seen them live, which is really sad at my age. Yeah,
you will on our tour that we
do. Yeah. So
they're very good live.
for selfish reasons, they would definitely be one.
That's not a bad one to go with for selfish reasons.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't know. The second. There's a lot to pull from. I'm going to go for this one, the Get Up Kids. Jimmy Eat World and the Get Up Kids. I don't know what I would name that other than...
Badass Tour Part 2.
Well, I'd name it...
Bring your tissues.
Yeah, bring your tissues.
Bring your tissue tour.
Yeah, sad lyrics, happy rock. Yeah, sad songs, party music tour. Yeah, there you go.
Your demographic is me.
We're on the same page.
All the adult emo kids.
I would say I'd want to bring or go out. We're gonna bring them. We're gonna do them a favor.
Yeah,
just bands that like I know would blow me away every night. So probably like Catfish and the Bottlemen, Charlie Bliss, and White Reaper. And we'll just call it like this is all for Mike. Tour. So I just every night be like, yes.
Oh my gosh, the mic drop tour.
Mike's mic drop tour.
That would be a sick tour.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Our tours, we've made a pretty badass festival.
That's a good festival, yeah.
Yeah.
We're
let's do it.
Name on the bottom of the flyer.
Smallest name in all caps.
I want all the tours. It's going to happen next year, 2022. I feel it.
Yeah.
I feel it, guys. The manifestation. It's out in the universe.
We're trying.
2022, Gaga.
Yeah.
Or if you want to be fun, 2023, because no one likes you when you're 23.
Yeah. Nice. Ooh, that's a good festival name you might have just come up with right there.
Oh, yay.
And it's on record, so you can say that was yours. You know?
Copywriting. At least give me tickets for like whatever date I want.
Yeah.
And that's all the merch. So I wanted to ask a question to specifically Shauna, but everybody is welcome to answer this as well. Do you feel that women in the rock industry or in the music industry in general need to portray themselves in certain ways in order to find success?
I don't think that you need to portray yourself as a female artist. I kind of just think that we are just artists in general. I've showed up to shows and been mistaken for the merch girl. And like, I kind of just brush it off. I'm just like, I'll see you on the stage in 20 minutes and, yeah. And you'll be the one who feels like a little idiot or whatever.
Yeah, let me help you.
As they should be.
Yeah. I just feel like women artists in general, you're just an artist and we're all, it's all the same playing field. That's how I think it should be.
Yeah, that's definitely how it should be. And hopefully it keeps getting that much better going in that direction. Like, I can't imagine what it's like being in that position, being like, oh, cool. Like, you're the girls here doing merch. Like, that's never happened to me. Like, I could be the merch guy and just wandering around the venue by happenstance. Like, nobody thinking anything other than like, oh, like there's another band dude, you know, like while that could be true, it's like, hey, like any woman in this venue at this show could be in any one of these bands. That's how it should be. And, you know, we're lucky to have Shauna be our backbone. We're lucky to know a lot of like-minded people like Shauna and like ourselves just in town, just from bands we've toured with that think the same as Shauna does. Like, hey, like I'm just an artist. I'm in a band. Like I shouldn't have to be like the girl singer or the girl drummer or the girl band. Yeah, if there's a band that happens to be made up of four women, like, oh, cool, it's that band. It's that band's name. It doesn't, oh, you know, that girl band or whatever. And like, I'm sure myself, like I've been guilty of saying that in the past or, you know, might slip up and say that, but it's just a band. It's another artist. That's just how it should be. I mean, hopefully things keep progressing that much where like this, it's a very good conversation to have, but hopefully it needs to happen like less and less because yeah. Everybody should just be, on, as Shauna said, on the same playing field.
And I also feel like female artists who haven't been in any bands, like they shouldn't feel intimidated because I feel like the music community, if you're surrounded by the right people, it's very supportive. So it shouldn't be an intimidating thing to get involved. I think everyone is here with open arms.
Music community being like Asbury Park and like the DIY rock scene, right?
Everyone's
encouraged, I think, in that regard. As far as pop culture and the more popular side of music, I have no idea. I've never been involved in any of that. But yeah, in the DIY rock scene, like, I'm the one in the band with the quickest temper, so I'll be really angry if anyone ever tries to come incorrectly in that regard.
Yeah,
I'm definitely seeing and really enjoying a lot of the changes that have been going on, you know, not only in the rock industry regarding women, but also just in the music industry in general. And hopefully it happens a lot quicker, but, you know, you can't rush progress. But the fact that there is progress is a good sign, at least.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
And what do you hope that your audience will take away from your music?
Some merch.
All the merch. I mean, that's not the worst thing.
Kind of thought the same.
We got great merch.
Joy. I would like joy. Like, I think the goal with a lot of our songs is 3 to 4 minutes long. They're there to hit hard. They're there to be catchy. They're there to make you smile and have fun. I hope our band elevates your mood the way Radiohead kind of does whatever Radiohead does to your mood. I think what we would hopefully we do is like make you kind of like ready for fun or a joyous occasion and energy.
Yeah. There's nothing better than going to a show and like discovering a new band and that feeling being like feeling blown away. And just like, I hope people feel that when they see us for the first time. it's all we can ask for.
Yeah, like we know how good that feels for us, you know, still going out and discovering new favorite bands, like just not even playing shows or going on tour, like just being at a show and being like, I've never heard these people before. And like you go home and dive through their discography if they've got more than, you know, the record, and you're like, oh my God, they've come, you know, like you go get to start like backtracking like through their journey as a band, and then you catch up. And like we have, you know, some old stuff, like some older stuff than Hell to Pay. And like I hope people react in like a positive way and they feel something good out of it enough to like backtrack on our journey and then continue on with us.
Get on the wave.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And to kind of end off the interview portion, what other big exciting things should we be expecting from you in the near future?
We just announced a couple dates in October with I Am the Avalanche and Somerset Thrower. We are planning on heading out for a bit of a bigger run in December, TBD. And then 2022, like you said, we're gonna be hitting it, yeah. Supporting this record. Can't believe it finally came out.
Well, we're happy to hear that you guys have shows upcoming. And where can everybody find you online so they can keep up with all of your endeavors?
Thankfully, we're everywhere. We actually just started messing around with TikTok because we have to, I guess. But like, we're everywhere. So.
Litwaves.com.
Yeah, yeah. Litwaves.com. Just type in Google. That's like one of the reasons why I picked the band name, because nothing came up when you Googled the word Litwaves.
Yeah, all of our socials, handles, it's all Litwaves. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, just Litwaves, right?
MySpace, Zanga.
MySpace, LiveJournal.
You have AIM as well, AIM.
Oh, man, I missed that.
I wish we could have an AIM account. No, you could. We're everywhere. There's four music videos out that were for four singles on the record. You can find on No Hope Records YouTube, our record, our vinyl, and a bunch of merch is for sale at nohoperecords.com.
So to get into our coffee shop appreciation portion here at Kerners and Coffee Shops, we love our coffee, obviously, our life source. Wanted to shout out Game House Cafe. They're located in Glendale. They are a board game cafe, and my fiance and I were board game nuts, and we took our engagement pictures there a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They have a really good food menu too. I used to work like walking distance, so I would get food there all the time. But they have a really good turkey sandwich, and they use I think fig sauce or fig jam like in the turkey sandwich, and it's so good.
Oh man,
that's my idea.
Yes, it's called Turkey to Ride, which is a playoff of Ticket to Ride, the board game.
When we come through Glendale on tour, we're gonna have to check that out.
Yes, I will come and play board games with you.
All right,
that sounds great.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
Woo! Yes, definitely let us know when you guys are in LA area for sure.
That'll take some pressure off getting there way too early, because that's what we do. And then the hurry up and wait game. So we'll just play board games all day. And then...
Yeah. Like it's a $10 cover and you can spend all day there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And do you guys have any coffee shops or cafes that you would like to shout out as well?
Yeah.
I'm sure. Big fan of Rook. It's not a chain. But there's how many? Five or six?
Nah, there's more than that at this point. They're all over New Jersey. And they ship nationwide, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rook, R-O-O-K. It's like my jet fuel. It's so good.
Yeah. Great coffee.
I would say Cafe Villon in downtown Asbury. They have the best rosemary fig scones.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of figs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a trend. But, yeah, it's they just reopened the indoor, like the inside, so you could... I'd like going there and get some work done and hanging out.
Yeah, it's a good band meeting spot for us. Yeah. It's an everyday stop for me on the way to work. Yeah, they're great in there.
And also, this coffee shop is closed now, but High Voltage was incredible. Yeah. Incredible decor and food.
Pierogies.
Yeah, like they had two separate locations. One was on the boardwalk, and the setup, like you were just like overlooking the water, and it was just like a great vibe. And yeah. Both locations are now closed, and I'm very sad about it.
We miss those. I guess we got to give a shout out to Asbury Park Roastery too. Yeah. We took over that space, and they're wonderful.
They are good.
They give your pups treats too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have to come.
Past coffee shops, shout out my first job ever, Friendly Grounds. We went open mic nights there, and I just been totally aging myself. There was a smoking section in there, and I just remember like kids going back there just to smoke cigarettes. Like, you have to buy a cup of coffee, man. Like, can't just come in here and smoke.
So if you're looking,
what kind of establishment do you think we are here?
So if you're Late Wave's favorite closed coffee shops in the state of New Jersey, listen to this interview or visit latewaves.com and we'll update the website.
Yeah.
When we go to Asbury Park, you guys can give me a coffee shop tour of the ones that are open.
Yeah, there's still really good ones open.
All righty. Well, thank you guys for joining me today. It was awesome getting to have you on here and such.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No problem. This was a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we've been looking forward to this since we first scheduled it. So nice to meet you and thank you for having us.
Thank you. We're hoping that you're staying safe out there. We can't wait for you guys to be playing live shows. And I'm going to get one of those vinyls like after this interview because I want one.
West Coast and play some board games.
Yes.
Please come to the West Coast and play board games.
Awesome.
Yeah. We hope that you're staying safe. And to our listeners, stay safe out there, everyone, and stay caffeinated.
Absolutely.
Thank you again so much.
Some of that.